The Kraft Music Hall, starring Bing Crosby and Bob Burns, with Connie Boswell, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, and the Music Maids. Bing's special guests for this evening include Pat O'Brien of the Cinema, Josephine Tomina of the Metropolitan Opera Company, and Captain William Ryder of the 501st Parachute Battalion of the United States Army. And here's Bing Crosby.
Oh, with a twist of the wrist, with your lips that insist, with that come hither look in your eye, just when I think we're through, you do magic and make me love you. At the drop of a hat, just as easy as that, with the merest attempt at a sigh, when I'm sure you're untrue, you do magic and make me love you. Yes, I'm just after all, at your beck and at your call. Seems 'twill never be for you and me all over. With a twist of the wrist, I'd be back on your list. Doesn't matter how hard I may try. How can I get away from your very persuasive allure? When with a twist of the wrist, I'm yours.
With your lips that insist, with that come hither look in your eyes, when I think we're all through, you do magic and then you make me love you. At the drop of a hat, it's as easy as that, with a merest attempt at a sigh, when I'm sure you're untrue, that magic you do makes me love you.
Yes, I'm just after all, at your beck and at your call. Seems 'twill never be for you and me all over. With a twist of the wrist, I'd be back on your list. Doesn't matter how hard I may try. How can I get away from your very persuasive allure? When with a twist of the wrist, I'm yours.
Say, Bing, I'm awful glad you got through twisting your wrist as quick as you did, because I've got a little problem to discuss with you.
Well, I'd rather twist my wrist, but what's your problem?
Yeah, never mind your problem. How about me?
Who's that?
That's my problem.
Yeah?
Now, listen, Bings. A bargain's a bargain. Are you or ain't you?
What goes here, Bob?
Well, Bing, this man is a radio fan, and he insists on meeting you right away. I've been trying to tell him there ain't no hurry.
No hurry, no hurry. Look, I got a date to meet Rudy Valley in a couple of minutes, and if you think I'm going to keep Rudy waiting, you're nuts.
Rudy waits for Barrymore. Why not you?
So you're Bing Crosby.
That's what they call me.
Well, if they call you that and ain't your name, see that they speak Attorney. You got a case.
Listen. Listen here, character. Not only is your manner familiar, but that puss of yours is an accident that couldn't happen twice.
If you're trying to place where you see me,
yeah,
I've been standing right outside Radio City here in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Getting autographs.
Yeah.
I've been doing it every day for 3 weeks. I've only got one more week left. I'm on a 4-week vacation.
From what?
Standing in front of Radio City, New York, getting autographs.
In other words, you're in California here combining business with pleasure, huh? How'd you get in here?
Bribery.
Bribery?
Sure. I bribe points.
How much did he take you for? You know, the regular tour is only 40 cents.
I didn't give him no money. I bribed him with an autograph.
You give him one of yours?
No, I took one of his. I hope I don't get caught with it.
You mean it might lower your standing?
Oh, sure. We have a pretty strict organization.
Naturally.
I've even got to be sartorially correct.
What do you mean, sartorially correct?
Well, looking at you, I could understand you wouldn't know what it means to be sartorially correct.
Well, you know, Thursday night is cook's night out. I just climb into something simple. What's this about your sartorial correctness, anyhow?
Well, now, look.
Yeah.
I'm standing in front of Radio City on Fifth Avenue in New York, see?
Mm-hmm.
I wear formal clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Morning coat and striped trousers for daytime, tails and white tie at night.
And in Hollywood?
I wear a raincoat.
Good move.
You must get to meet a lot of interesting people standing in front of Radio Cities.
Oh, I sure do, Connie. I'm constantly enlarging my acquaintanceship. Now, take a month to go in front of Radio City in New York. Guess who comes out?
I give up. Who?
Clark Gable.
No.
Yeah. So I says, hello, Clark. And he comes right back, hello, kid.
Isn't that cozy?
So a couple of weeks later, I'm hunting autographs in front of the Merchandise Mart in Chicago. And guess who comes out?
I'll be a blowed-up tomato if I know.
Clark Gable.
Your pal.
Yeah. So I says, hello, Clark. And he comes right back and he says, hello, kid. You see, we get to know each other.
Yeah. This thing is ripening into a beautiful friendship, isn't
it? Yeah. So a couple of weeks later, I come out here on my vacation, and I'm standing right outside here. Guess who comes out?
Clark Gable.
You guessed it. So naturally, I says, hello, Clarksy. But he don't crack. He don't give me a tumble. He's gone Hollywood.
Was ever thus.
Yep. Well, those are the trials a guy's got to suffer getting autographs. But it's worth it. There's just one trouble.
A fly in the ointment of collecting autographs?
Yeah. What good are the darn things after I get them?
Why?
Every room in the house is papered with autographs. I can't get the car in the garage. It's full of autographs. I open a linen closet to get a towel, and bang! I'm drying my hands on Myrna Loy in red ink.
Must be tough when you take a bath.
What bath? The tub's full of autographs.
Yeah, you know Burns has a rare item. His tub is autographed for the Ringling Brothers.
I never...
Yeah. You must run out sometime. He'll show it to you. Right now, I want to hear Connie Boswell sing A Little Bit South of North Carolina.
Just a little bit south of North Carolina, that's where I long to be. In a little brown shack in South Carolina, someone waits for me. In his letter he says the weather is fine, folks are feeling great, that the garden looks grand, the red rose vine clinging to the gate. Just a little bit south of North Carolina, that's where my thoughts all stray, to the one I love best in South Carolina. I'm going back someday. I can hardly wait to see the face of the one I idolize. Just a little bit south of North Carolina, I'll find paradise. A little bit south of North Carolina, that's where I long to be. In a little brown shack in South Carolina, someone waits for me. In his letter he says the weather is fine, folks are feeling great, and the garden looks grand, the red rose vine is clinging round the gate. Just a little bit south of North Carolina, that's where I long to stray, to the one I love best in South Carolina. I'm going back someday. I can hardly wait to see the face of the one I idolize. Just a little bit south of North Carolina, I'll find paradise. I'll find paradise.
Thank you, Connie. And now that the baseball season's on us, it's a pleasure to welcome Pat O'Brien to the Old Craft Music Hall for the ninth time. Not only is Pat a big man in the football department, as attested to by Newt Rockne, All-American, but Pat was one of the best third base coaches in the history of college baseball. Isn't that right, Pat?
Well, if you say so, Bingo, I'll go for that.
Okay, any man on the Marquette team would tell you. They used to say, if you get as far as second, O'Brien will get you to third and take care of you. That was O'Brien's slogan. And how he lived up to it is best emphasized by the story about the time a guy comes legging it down from second. He's about to tag the bag and beat it for home when he's flagged down at third by O'Brien, although the gardeners are still kicking the apple out around the backboards. The runner came out of the dust with a strawberry on his hip and tears into O'Brien like this. Hey, what's the idea of stopping me? Here I am standing on third with a guy on his way from first, another guy on his way from second. You know, you keep stopping people here at third and this base will turn into the bottleneck of the whole game. They still ain't fielded that ball. What's the idea of stopping me? What am I doing here?
Get a nice cold drink here. If you're plenty down, drink 20 down.
What do you think I do, drink pop when I run bases?
Nope, that's why I stopped you. Everybody stops at third base to buy refreshments from O'Brien.
Not me. I don't want no pop.
Peanuts, popcorn, cigars, cigarettes, chewing gum, sandwiches, hot dogs, coffee, the best grub on the diamond. Why, some of the candy butchers in the stands come down here to eat.
Now, listen, how long are you going to keep me standing here while you hustle merchandise?
Who asked you to stand, brother? Who asked you to stand? Get a nice, soft straw mat for only 10 cents. You're going to be sitting pretty.
Well, if that's the pitcher up there hitting, I may as well sail for the mat. Slip it under me.
Better take two, brother. Better take two. Remember, you're playing for Los Angeles.
Okay, but you better get me off this base before them two guys from first and second get here, boy.
No hurry, no hurry. When those two guys show up, I might be able to sell you a pinochle deck.
I think now I understand that slogan. If you get as far as second, O'Brien will get you to third and take care of you. Look, how long you had this concession here at third base?
Oh, a couple of seasons now, but doing all right, too. Everybody advised me to take the spot over by first base.
Why?
Well, they figured with guys going for walks and things, they figured the traffic was apt to be heavier over around first than it is here at third.
Yeah, sure, that's right.
Yeah, but I figured I'd go after the class business instead of just volume. Yeah. So, well, I got me this little place by third. I figured nobody gets to third unless he's been around.
That's what he don't, no.
Oh, I got great plans for this place. You ought to see the jukebox I picked out yesterday.
Yeah, you're going to put in a jukebox, too?
Certainly, why not? No drive-ins complete without a juke. And what a model I've got. Latest thing, just come out. 100% indirect red, white, and blue fluorescent lighting. Put a nickel in it, snaps your picture, shows your weight, tells your fortune, brushes off your shoes, sprays your coat with eau de cologne, and plays me bounce me brother with a solid hour.
Must be cheap cologne.
What do you want for a nickel? Canal number two?
Look, what happens with the juke if a guy puts a cuter into it?
Everything I told you. Plus a small steak with French fries and a zombie.
Boy, you're going to make third base the hottest spot in the diamond.
Just shows what a guy can do starting on a shoestring.
Some shortstop needed to make a shoestring catch, I suppose.
Save those cracks for the guys in the dugout.
Sorry.
I'm standing here at third, and all of a sudden a guy slides in with a shoelace broken. I happen to have a spare in my pocket, so I sell it to him. Excuse me, here's another customer sliding in from second.
Say, O'Brien, I sure like to come to your third base. It's the only one in the whole league where they ain't got a third baseman hanging around.
I took care of that. I found out having a third baseman around kept people away from the base. Jinxed the joint.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see how that'd hurt your business, but how'd you keep a third baseman away?
Gave the guy a little piece of the place. Naturally, he wants to do as well as he can for himself, so he stays away. What can I do for you, brother? You got your pants pretty dusty from that slide.
Yeah, I thought maybe I could get brushed off here.
It'd be a pleasure to brush you off, brother. Providing you buy a brush. Or if you got time to wait, we could send the pants out and have them cleaned for you.
You run a cleaning service here at third base, too?
With a team like ours that gets cleaned at every game, no use letting the business go to outsiders.
I want to tell you, time sure does fly. Well, I can remember when I first come to third base here, Pat. You didn't have nothing but a little old lemonade stand, and I was scared to buy the lemonade because it didn't look fit to drink.
Now, that's a fine thing to say. Didn't I wipe off every lemon I use with a clean linen rag?
Yeah, then you squeeze the rag into some water.
All right. Now, listen, Burns, this business couldn't have grown the way it has if I hadn't given good service.
Well, of course, it did kind of help that everybody has to pass your place on his way home.
And I give them what they want. After my juke gets here tomorrow, I'm putting in a dance floor, maybe a small floor show.
A floor show at third base?
Certainly, why not? You got to get people entertainment. You ever seen the Yankee Stadium?
Sure.
Well, it may surprise you to hear that the Yankee Stadium started as a little concession off third base.
Yeah?
Why, certainly. The place at third got to attracting such crowds with the peanuts and pop and hot dogs and stuff they were selling, they decided to keep the people there eating the stuff all afternoon. And that's how they happened to put in the baseball game.
Well, what do you know?
I may even advertise this place on the radio. I got a theme song, goes something like this. I was sitting by third base one day in the merry, merry month of May. I was peddling cigars and little candy bars while sitting by third base one day.
Now, if you want to build the joint up fine, I suggest you add another line. Among the best it's reckoned, and a fella rounding second will tell you all about this line. Oh, let me hear it.
Tell me all about this line.
You remember the old proverb about an apple a day? Well, considering all we know now about nutritional values, we might say a salad a day keeps the doctor away. Salads are fine protective foods. A salad a day is a good health rule. And here's a rule for extra enjoyment. serve your salads with Miracle Whip. Miracle Whip is the famous salad dressing that makes folks who just tolerate salads turn enthusiastic. It has such a marvelous flavor, not too sharp, not too oily, not too bland, a flavor that's just exactly right. So many millions feel that way about Miracle Whip that it outsells the next 20 leading brands combined. Fired with the salad dressing. Oh, won't you try Miracle Whip? You may find, as so many others have, that Miracle Whip just hits the spot. It's a different kind of dressing, you know, a unique combination of old-fashioned boiled dressing and fine mayonnaise. Miracle Whip salad dressing. Ask for it tomorrow.
Makes no difference, hands me. I'll get along without you now, that's plain to see. I don't care what happens next, for I'll get by somehow. I don't worry, because it makes no difference now. It was just a year ago when I first met you. I learned to love you, thought you'd love me too. But that's all in the past, and I'll get by somehow. I don't worry, because it makes no difference now. That we have really parted, I can't believe we're through. I don't blame myself, sure I can't blame you. There was something had to happen, and it happened somehow. I don't worry, because it makes no difference now. After all is said and done, I'll soon forget you. Although I know it's going to be so hard to do. Let things happen as they will, and I'll get by somehow. I don't worry, got no worry. I don't worry, because it makes no difference.
America's number one parachute trooper, a title he acquired by being the first man to volunteer when he heard the Army was forming a unit of jump fighters, Captain William T. Ryder of the 501st Parachute Battalion of Fort Benning, Georgia, is at present in Hollywood acting as technical advisor on RKO's forthcoming saga of the Shoot Men, Parachute Battalion. And ever having jumped out of anything higher than a double bed myself, I really should think it would take colossal courage, Captain, to rely completely on a little piece of cloth.
Oh, I don't know, Bing. The tiniest babies rely completely on a little piece of cloth.
Yeah. Bing, the parachute troops have landed and got the situation well in hand.
Seriously, Bing, I think the real reason the men in the battalion have confidence in their parachutes is that each man folds his own chute.
Well, I guess I'm out then. I can't even tie a necktie.
So I see.
Yes.
Well, I guess it's pretty clear to both of us, Captain, that Bing ain't just the kind of man you'd want in the parachute battalion.
Perhaps not, Bob. But if you were unmarried, between the ages of 21 and 32, and looked healthy, you might be the kind of man the parachute battalion was looking for.
If I was all you said and they wanted me to join the parachute battalion, they'd have to look for me.
Well, parachute jumping isn't anything to be afraid of. It's just a matter of practice.
Yeah, and that's something else I can't understand. What's the sense of practicing something you got to do perfectly the first time?
Well, there's a lot more practicing to the training than just learning how to jump. Actually, the jumping is merely a method of transportation.
What do you think of the captain's form of transportation, B?
They never going to take the place of the pushmobile.
Say, how's about it? Can I throw a question in here, men?
Pat O'Brien throwing in a question from third base.
Say, Captain, when you say jumping is merely a matter of transportation, just how do you mean that?
Well, to the men in the parachute battalion, when you're up in an airplane and you want to get down to Earth in a hurry, parachute jumping is the easiest way.
I see. Well, what happens if a man's in training and when his time to jump comes, it doesn't look so easy?
He's given a second chance to jump immediately afterwards. If he doesn't make it the second time, he's transferred to another outfit within a few hours. There's no stigma attached to it. He's a perfectly good soldier, but just not the type for the parachute battalion.
Well, just how much training do you give a man before you get a chance to decide whether or not he is the type?
6 to 8 weeks, Miss Bothwell. During that time, in addition to the jumping instructions, he learns to pack his own parachute, a job that takes even an expert a good half hour.
Must be enough cloth in one of those chutes to make a shirt for John Trotter.
Just put sleeves in it. The chutes are 28 feet across and are made up of 28 panels of pure silk.
It must be embarrassing if you get a run in that silk.
We prevent runs by not keeping our parachutes up with garters.
On the other hand, if you got garters to keep the chutes up, you could ignore the runs. Now, that training period, what goes there?
Well, some of it is devoted to learning how to jump from a grounded plane, tumbling, how to land, and how to carry on offensive warfare after you get up off the ground.
I know people who have trouble getting up off a couch.
Look at me.
How do you boys manage to pick yourselves up after a drop you make?
We really don't land as heavily as most people think. It's about like stepping off the top of an automobile going 15 miles an hour.
Well, after this training, Captain, how many times do you have to jump before you're really in the battalion?
The requirements are that you have to participate in 2 mass jumps from 750 feet. That may be with as many as 60 men. And 4 solos from 750, 1,000, and 1,500 feet.
Well, that's pretty low, isn't it, Captain? Stuntmen have told me that the civil authorities won't let them bail out below 2,000 feet. It's too dangerous.
That's true, Pat. But it takes too long to float down from that height, so we do most of our peacetime jumping from 750 feet.
How long a ride do you get from that height, Cap?
If the chute opens properly, you come down in 40 to 50 seconds. If not, you'll make it in 8.5 seconds.
I take it yours is always open properly.
Well, the static line takes care of that.
Static? Static seems to be better for you than us, then.
The static line is a secret cable device attached to the plane. Normally, it opens the main chute automatically 1.5 seconds after you bail out. If something goes wrong, we have an emergency chute. Of course, that's not much help if you don't remember the slogan.
What's the slogan?
It don't mean a thing if you don't pull that string.
Well, what do you do when you do pull the string? Just hang on? I mean, you can't steer the thing.
Yes, you can. With the riser that connects the chute to the harness. To slide to the right, you pull the right risers. That collapses that side of the chute. It's as safe as driving a car.
Yeah, it may be safer than driving a car in Los Angeles.
Got any L.A. boys in your group, Captain?
The 48 states are pretty well represented by the 500 men now in the battalion under the command of Major Miley. And we're growing all the time. Eventually, we'll have several battalions all under the command of Colonel William Lee.
Well, I'm sure we all wish every one of them innumerable happy landings.
Thanks, Bing. And you might help us out.
Oh.
The battalion's looking for a fight song. Happen to know of an appropriate one?
Fight song? Let's see. How about Jump and Jive or the 1 o'clock jump?
They've already been disqualified.
Well, I'm sorry, then. That's all I'm up on now. But Connie has a ballad called Things I Love. Would you care for that?
I'd certainly like to hear it.
Say, excuse me, Connie. Before you sing for the captain, I'd like to ask him a question, if we can.
What's your question, Bob?
Well, now, I knew you was going to be here in the hall this evening, Captain, and I got to thinking about this parachute jumping. In fact, I thought so much about it that last night I dreamed about it. I dreamed I jumped out, I bailed out, counted 10, and pulled a string.
What happened?
My pajama pants fell off.
Oh! Well, you better sing for the captain, Connie.
Sunset in the summer sky, the golden flicker of the fireflies, a gleam of love light in your lovely eyes. These are the things I love. A silver moonbeam peeping through the trees. A bed of tulips nodding in the breeze. The look you give in answer to my pleas. These are the things I love. Once I thought that life was just a winter thing. My heart was cold. And then you came to me, and like a breath of spring, you turned the silver snow to gold. A robin's serenade when day is through. The babbling brook beside our rendezvous. Your sweet voice whispering, darling, I love you. These are the things. That life was just a winter thing. My heart was cold. And then you came to me, and like a breath of spring, you turned the silver snow to gold. A robin's serenade when day is through. A babbling brook beside our rendezvous. Your sweet voice whispering, darling, I love you. These are the things I love.
Following things I love, we're wide open for Carpenter. Tell him about those things we all love, Ken.
To dress up vegetables, make them really exciting instead of just commonplace, there's nothing like smooth, golden hollandaise. But you may say, hollandaise sauce is so hard to make. And that, lady, is where Kraft can help you. Kraft's Home Economics Kitchen has developed an easy recipe for can't-fail hollandaise. Just listen. Put 1 cup of Miracle Whip salad dressing in the top of a double boiler over hot water, and let it stand for 10 minutes without boiling. And then add 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, mix well, and serve with pride. Now, what could be simpler? And definitely, it's good. The famous Miracle Whip flavor that does so much for salads is perfect in hollandaise. Plan now to serve new asparagus with hollandaise this weekend. And when you buy your Miracle Whip, you'll get the quart size if you're thrifty, the economical large size that in Canada is known as the 32-ounce jar. You won't be buying too much. Miracle Whip salad dressing has so many uses. Say, Dr. Crosby.
Yeah?
I've got something astounding to tell you.
So, what's that, Carb?
Well, I found out that Professor Burns tells the truth.
Listen, son, if a man in a white uniform and a conductor's cap backs up a wagon and comes after you, don't open your mouth. Don't say anything.
Really?
No.
Really? Well, you remember last Thursday when Professor Burns said there was so much iron in his alfalfa that every time he milks his cow, she bongs?
Yes.
Well, it's true. I was out there. I milked her.
You did?
She sounds exactly like this.
Come here. Those didn't sound like bovine bongs, Carp.
Well, what then, sir?
Like hair in your eye.
Oh, you mean bangs?
Yes, and go. With you as craft music, all matters proceed with Pat O'Brien, Josephine Tominia, Captain William Ryder of the Parachute Battalion, Burns, Trotter, and Miss Connie Boswell of New Orleans.
I make a date for golf. You can bet your life it rains.
I try to give a party, and the guy upstairs complains.
You've got trouble too, huh? I guess I'll go through life just catching colds and missing trains. Everything happens to me.
I never miss a thing. I've had the measles and the mumps.
And every time I play an ace, my partner always trumps.
Well, I guess I'm just a fool who never looks before he jumps. Everything happens to me.
At first, my heart thought love could break this jinx for me. But love would turn the trick to end despair.
I never try to fool this head that thinks for me. I've mortgaged all my castles in the air.
I telegraphed, I phoned, sent an airmail special too. Her answer was goodbye. There was even postage due.
Well, I did the same darn thing.
Did you now?
His answer said that we were through.
Well, looky here.
Everything happens to me.
I purchased me some horses, brought them up from Argentine.
Well, tell me, do they like California?
Love it.
Do they find the climate fine?
Well, they find the climate nice, but they can't find the finish line. Everything happens to me.
I tried to paint a portrait of the man whose heart is mine.
That's sweet. That ought to set you solid, right where you really like to shine.
Yeah, but when I got it finished, it just looked like Frankenstein.
Too flattering.
Everything happens to me.
Ain't it a mess? You know, it can't be just hard luck that makes life rough to me.
What makes you think fate's fixed you to get stuck?
Well, such simple sums as two and two look tough to me.
Well, that's ignorance, my boy.
Ignorance?
Not lack of luck. Now, you take those shirts you wear, son.
Like them?
They ain't, mature.
Well, they showed up with my laundry, and where they came from, I'm not sure.
You got the wash that should have gone to Darth de la Moore.
Everything happens to me.
For instance, when we sing a song, it's always in your key.
Well, you shouldn't moan about that, Miss Constance, because you'd do just as much for me.
Yeah, but you got me singing F's when my high note is only C.
I'll make you a coloratura.
Not this season.
You don't want to be a coloratura?
I can't get up there.
Well, looky here. Everything happens to me.
Say, Bing, I was just listening. That seemed kind of funny to me, you and Connie singing Everything Happens to You Two. I just about begun to think that everything happens to my Grandma Snazzy.
Is that right? Is Grandma stopping with you now? Is she here?
No, no, no. I got another letter from her.
You got a letter? Oh, yeah. Get it out.
I love those letters. No, no, sir.
Come on.
No, you caught me on that twice, and... before, and then Don Amici comes over here and he catches me. I get up here and make a fool out of myself by reading all that personal stuff from Grandma.
Oh,
no,
come
sir.
On, Rob.
No,
don't
sir.
Be an old spoil.
No, I ain't going to do it.
Well, all right, if that's the way you feel about it, don't bother. Don't read it.
Well, of course, if you're going to get mad about it, Bing. After all, I have to work with you here, and Grandma's way down there, and I haven't read it myself yet, but... I'll read it now, but just remember, it Bing's the cause of it. Don't blame me for it. Anyhow, Grandma says, Dear Robin, we have been listening to you every Thursday, but are worried about getting you this Thursday since they started that daylight saving time. Now a body don't never know what time is which. Even our old cuckoo clock is all mixed up. Every hour, the cuckoo just comes out and shrugs his shoulders. Even that watch you sent me don't help much. I guess it is just a California watch. It is earthquake-proof, fog-proof, and rain-proof. But yesterday I took it out in the sun and it stopped. Them presents you have been sending us don't always turn out so good, but we appreciate them just the same. Your Aunt Pudgy said to thank you for sending her that two-way stretch. The two-way stretch don't help her much, though, because she stretches three ways. Your Uncle Baldwin was taken to the hospital last week. Well, now, I declare I don't understand that. That's my lucky uncle. That's my Uncle Baldwin Hinks. He's the luckiest man in Arkansas. They call him Lucky Baldwin Hink. I can't understand. I guess his luck must have changed, poor fella. But, well, I'll read what she says here. She says, your Uncle Baldwin was taken to the hospital last week. I declare it beats all how that man's luck holds out. The second day he was in the hospital, he got a fever of 105 and won the day's high money in the fever pool. Well, Grandma says your Grandpa Pelican Snelson is having a little trouble with his legs. It seems like one of his legs says it's going to rain, and the other one keeps jumping up and down denying it. Well, that is all for this time, except to tell you that your Uncle Slug is getting plumb out of hand with his drinking. He seems to be having the same trouble the government is having. Too many bottlenecks. Well, there was a time when all you had to do to find him was to go down to Spike Wallace's musical cocktail bar. You could always find your Uncle Slug and a glass of beer over in the corner with their heads together. But now he has switched drinks, and I don't know what has come over the boy. Robin, what in the world do they put in them zombies? Ever since he started drinking them zombies, all he has been doing is going around saying, I am a social butterfly. I am a social butterfly. We didn't put no stock in it till yesterday two men come and took him away in a net. I think that's just awfully cute. That I'm sorry I can't send you that group picture of all 27 of us that you asked for. I wanted to have one taken while Slug was still with us, and I sent to Fort Smith and got a professional photographer. But your Uncle Slug had just had a few zombies, and he staggered and weaved around so much that when the picture was developed, your Uncle Slug was standing in front of every one of us. She said, don't blame your Uncle Slug too much. It's that swing music at Spike Wallace's that's ruining the boys of Van Buren. Well, now, after that letter, I wouldn't have the heart to play one of them swing pieces tonight. So instead of that, I'm going to play a piece tonight on the bazooka. I'm going to play one of those high-class numbers called Dance of the Hours. And just to be sure that it's going to be a high-class number, we've imported an outside conductor tonight. We have sent at great money Dr. Lillis Toscanini Stokowski Crosby. Now then, I see Dr. Crosby's coming into the hall. The lights are being lowered. And the doctor is stepping up on the rostrum, on the podium. He's rapping for attention. They're about to start. Listen carefully.
Hello?
Was the tempo all right for you? While the world is mulling over that miserable mewling, Trotter and I are going to come in with something a little more sentimental. Introduction.
Two hearts that pass in the night, in the magical light of the moon, knowing how soon night is gone. Two hearts that join in a glance and discover romances are made only to fade with the dawn. So for an hour you were mine, and my heart was aglow with a power beyond divining. Two hearts have tasted delight. Must they always be lonely, alas? Two hearts that pass in the night. Was aglow with a power beyond divining. Two hearts have tasted delight. Must they always be lonely, alas? Two hearts that pass in the night.
The first time Josephine Tamminia was with us here in the Old Craft Music Hall back in 1936, she just made a promising debut with the San Francisco Opera Company. When asked about her plans for the future, she said, and I quote, "I have only one plan, to try not to make any mistakes." Well, it seems perfectly obvious that Josephine hasn't, for after her debut with the Metropolitan Opera Company this winter, Virgil Thompson, music critic for the New York Herald Tribune, wrote, "The cleanness of her vocalization, the solidity of her rhythm, the incredible accuracy of her tonal marksmanship all go to make up a vocal technique such as has not been heard here for many years." Now, when you induce a tough New York critic to turn on like that, you got it. However, if you haven't already got the idea that Josephine sings much better than fair, lend an ear to Miss Josephine Tamminia, accompanied by Shibley Boys, singing "Quando Rapido in Estasi" from Lucia de Lammermoor.
Mi giuro per la fe
fine, Josephine. Very fine indeed.
Thank you, Bing. It's like old home week coming back to Kraft Music Hall.
You know, it's a funny thing. Pat O'Brien's around tonight. You know, you and he both made your first appearances in the hall here together.
That's right, Bing. And tonight's my ninth.
Well, this is only my eighth. You're doing better than I am.
Well, that's only because you've been away someplace studying music and working, and I try not to work, and I never study. They can always get me.
From now on, I'll try to stick around more.
I wish you would, Josephine. You being one of the few people we know who can sing both opera and popular music.
Yeah, and good, too. You know, Bing, I'll never forget how Josephine swung the wren and Lo, Hear the Gentle Lark.
Yeah, and this evening, she and Connie are going to riffle through Listen to the Mockingbird.
Bob, I guess you always get the bird, don't you?
You've been listening to me.
Well, how about it, Joe? Are you ready?
Come on, Connie, let's cut it up.
Oh, we'll sharpen my scissors.
Listen to the mockingbird. Listen to the mockingbird. The mockingbird is singing all the day. Listen to the mockingbird. Listen to the mockingbird. Still singing where the weeping willows play.
Ladies, very nice indeed. Certainly a new kind of mockingbird. Septimus Winter whipped up that tune 4 years before Thomas H. Bailey scored off a ballad equally popular today. That would be 1850, the year that English sparrows were imported to this country to combat caterpillars. And Jenny Lind, the Swedish nightingale, making her debut at Castle Garden under the aegis of P.T. Barnum, was given a rosewood bookcase containing Audubon's Birds and Quadrupeds of America by the New York Fire Department. But as I started to say, with some slight assistance, you may recall the tune Mr. Bailey wrote that year. I'm sure you remember.
Tell me the tale that to me was so dear. Long, long ago. Long, long ago. Sing me the songs I delighted to hear. Long, long ago, long ago. Now you are come, all my grief is removed. Let me forget that so long you have roamed. Tell me the tales that to me were so dear. Long, long ago, long ago.
Thank you.
are come, all my grief is removed. Let me forget that so long you have roamed. Tell me the tales that to me were so dear. Long, long ago, long ago.
Continuing with 1850, that was the year Charles Dickens came out with David Copperfield. Ken Carpenter came out quite a little bit later, but the only thing is, when he comes out, man, he really comes on.
Right now, when everyone goes for salads, is the time to swing to Miracle Whip. Miracle Whip makes salads so lively, gives them character and zest. One taste, and you know why it's the brand that all America prefers. Famous for different flavor, Miracle Whip is unique in texture, too. It's mixed in a patented beater exclusive with Kraft. Has a wonderful creamy smoothness that you get in no other brand. Do try Miracle Whip very soon. Try it on green salads, fruit salads, coleslaw, and see what it does for sandwiches, too. And don't forget that hollandaise sauce. Food dealers get fresh supplies of Miracle Whip salad dressing every few days.
When the March from Peter and the Wolf by Prokofiev is played any better than that, it'll probably be you playing it at the Pacific Square Friday and Saturday night in San Diego.
You're flattering, very flattering, sir.
Well, that's just a ruse to get one of those double mellow trotter intros into Till Reveille.
I hope your ruse works.
I hope it do.
I dream the whole night through. Each night till I hear reveille, I dream, my dear, of you. I have your face before me. The moments we're apart, contact till I hear reveille. I dream of you, sweetheart. The moments with a past from taps till I hear reveille. I dream of you, sweetheart.
Thus, friends, another Thursday in the Old Craft Music Hall gets stashed away. But we're preparing another item for a week from tonight. Same time, Burns, Connie Boswell, John Scott Trotter, Carpenter, the Music Maids, we'll all be with you then. We hope you'll be with us. Alec Templeton's going to be here next Thursday, and besides Alec, we've invited Walter Pidgeon of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Try and catch Walter and Alec and us, will you? Until next Thursday, same time as tonight, adios.
Ladies and gentlemen, a brief special announcement in honor of National Restaurant Week. This year, National Restaurant Week is being celebrated from May 5th to May 11th. Kraft is happy to salute the occasion, and in the name of the restaurant men and women of America, to extend a special invitation to you to dine out. We all know what a pleasure a dinner at a good restaurant can be, especially for wives and mothers. Plan now to enjoy that pleasure sometime this coming week. And tune in to Kraft Music Hall next week at the same time to hear Bing Crosby with Bob Burns, Johnny Trotter and his orchestra, Connie Boswell and the Music Maids, and Bing's special guests for the evening, Alec Templeton and Walter Pidgeon. The Kraft Music Hall comes to you from Hollywood's Radio City.
Listen to the rhythm of the Kraft Malted Milkshaker. Then pour yourself some Kraft's delicious malted milk. If your house is all torn up with spring cleaning or moving, you're a lucky person if you have Kraft sweetened, chocolate-flavored malted milk on your pantry shelf. Because then you can sit down and relax with a cool, frosty Kraft chocolate malted in your hand. A drink that really refreshes you and helps you to do more work, yet feel less tired at the end of the day. That's because a Kraft malted gives you quick food energy through the combination of malt and cane sugars and the fine nutrients of milk. And when you're rushed at mealtime, think of Kraft malteds and sandwiches. Easy, satisfying, mighty good. Kraft malteds are fine for the children anytime, and youngsters love them. Your food store has Kraft sweetened, chocolate-flavored malted milk. It comes in 1 pound and 2 pound cans and in the new 10-cent packages. Get some tomorrow. This is the National Broadcasting Company.